in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
On April 10th, 2024, O.J. Simpson, the NFL Hall of Fame running back from the Buffalo Bills, who became one of the most disgraced celebrities in the world after he was tried for the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her male friend, Ronald Goldman, passed away in Las Vegas at the age of 76 after a brief battle with prostate cancer. Simpson had initially shrugged off rumors of him entering hospice care to deal with the illness with his characteristic charm and humor, imitating Allen Iverson's famous rant about practice to dispel the stories.
Hey, X-World, hospice? Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald Sink. Can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. And all is well, you know? So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
But sources say his health was indeed deteriorating rapidly behind the scenes, and Simpson ultimately succumbed to the illness. To say O.J. Simpson was the most polarizing figure in American culture in the last half of the 20th century sounds like the typical kind of hyperbolic statement you might hear on any newscast delivering a story about the passing of a famous person, one that's easily dismissed and refuted with countless counterexamples, and seems clearly designed to capture attention in an empty, clickbaity sort of way. But in this case, it's almost undoubtedly true. Before Donald Trump assumed his present place in the public consciousness, O.J. Simpson stood as one of the most divisive figures in a very crowded celebrity landscape. Prior to 1994, O.J. Simpson was a nearly universally beloved celebrity, at once celebrated for his incredible athletic feats on the football field, winning the Heisman Trophy for the USC Trojans back in 1968, an MVP award in 1973 for the Buffalo Bills, and breaking countless records along the way in a storied career on the gridiron. Blessed with incredible good looks, a beaming smile, and dripping with charisma, he transitioned with ease from his football career into the world of sports journalism as a sideline reporter for NBC. Got huge endorsement deals with companies like rental car giant Hertz, as well as a host of other businesses like Pioneer Chicken, Honey Baked Ham, and even Dingo Cowboy Boots. And then there was his burgeoning acting career, with roles in a slew of television shows, miniseries, and movies like Dragnet, Roots, Capricorn One, and of course, the wildly popular Naked Gun movies with Leslie Nielsen. By 1992, O.J. Simpson was worth a reported $10 million and was raking in around $1 million per year, including a whopping $550,000 alone per year from Hertz. And then it all changed forever on the night of June 12, 1994, with the gruesome stabbing deaths of Nicole and Ron outside of Nicole's condo in the Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles. For people around during the time, every single moment of television news became dominated by O.J. coverage. There was confusion at first that someone so charming and handsome, with seemingly everything going for him in life, could commit such a horrendous act. And then, right in the middle of the NBA Finals, the low-speed Bronco chase happened.
Now they have picked up the white Bronco on the 5 freeway. The vehicle is driving about 20 or so miles an hour. The driver of the vehicle was on the cellular phone. We believe that the passenger is O.J. Simpson. That's what we've heard on the Orange County frequencies. And right now we're up at about 1,000 feet. And they are attempting to pull the vehicle over. They've made contact via a cellular phone, also on a public address system. Unfortunately, at this time, it does not appear as though the driver is slowing down or complying with the orders of the officers.
Long before the days of social media and viral videos, the Bronco chase became one of the most dramatic shared experiences in modern American history. And it was only the beginning. What followed was the most compelling and covered criminal trial in history. Huge stars and supporting characters emerged from the ordeal. Every lawyer in the case, from defense counsel Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, and Robert Kardashian, to the prosecutors in the case, Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden, became household names nearly overnight. Faye Resnick and Kato Kaelin became fodder for late-night talk shows and sketch comedy. The detective in the case, Mark Furman, became an emblem of corruption and racism in the ranks of law enforcement. The entire trial became a flashpoint for race relations in America and the most dramatic and unexpected fall from grace in Hollywood and sports history. Even after his acquittal, there was a civil trial that resulted in a $33 million verdict owed to the families of the victims, and O.J.'s life continued to be a roller coaster of controversy, culminating in a conviction for armed robbery in Las Vegas over some sports memorabilia that he was trying to get back, and a lengthy prison sentence that he was given in that case. And when he finally emerged from prison, O.J. continued to court controversy with frequent posts on social media, winking and smiling about various topics, and continuing his public charade of sort of, but not quite, admitting to the crimes with interviews and, of course, his infamous book, If I Did It. And now he's gone. There will be no flowery eulogies or tearful comments on social media for O.J. Simpson, but his passing does close one of the most significant and important chapters in American history. I'm Derek Kaufman.
I'm Jason Beckerman.
And this is a special episode of Last Days, O.J. Simpson.
Any discussion of O.J. Simpson's career as a football player and an actor, a pitchman, and a performer threatens to minimize the gravity of the crimes for which he was later accused. But these are not separate stories. The murders of Nicole and Ron and the trial that followed were so resonant and so divisive, specifically because he was all that he was. As a football player, he was nearly unrivaled. He broke records in college and the NFL. Up to that time, he was arguably the most successful running back in the game's history. But his greatness extended off the field. He was charismatic. He was charming. His natural charisma, which had been evident during his football career, translated well to the screen and made him likable to so many, regardless of race. As one of the first African-American sports figures to become a media darling, Simpson's success in the football field paved the way for a smooth transition into areas traditionally dominated by white entertainers, including acting and television broadcasting. Simpson purposefully chose roles that were non-controversial and that often portrayed him as a friendly, agreeable character, such as the bungling but well-meaning Nordberg in the Naked Gun series.
There's someone else here who wants to thank you.
Nordberg! Hiya, buddy. Hey! Doc says I should be on my bean and as good as new in a week.
And back on the force.
Nordberg! That's wonderful!
Whoa! His roles in widely popular films and TV shows like The Towering Inferno, Capricorn One, and in the prominent miniseries Roots also contributed to his acceptance by a broad audience. These high-profile projects showcase him among a diverse cast and genres that had mass appeal.
We'll go ahead and take a quick ad break. We'll be back after this.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Derek, it's he was such a larger-than-life figure. He was arguably the most famous sports celebrity in the world throughout the 1970s and even into the 1980s as his football career began to diminish. He has this second life in the Naked Gun movies. He was truly beloved. It's hard for me to say by everyone because I come from a very specific point of view with a very specific upbringing, but he was certainly beloved by the people that I was surrounded.
I think you're so right to contextualize O.J. Simpson. He was not the first star athlete. We've covered many of them. We covered Jim Brown's death recently.
Joe Namath was huge.
There were massive stars, and he was in that constellation, certainly. His career accolades for the Buffalo Bills and in his sort of college career put him in that category, but he was different. And here's how I think he was different. A lot of those figures were very present in the social issues of the day. Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, these were outspoken advocates
for civil
rights. We talked about
it in the Sam Cooke context, right? He was friends with all of these athletes, and they were very prominent and outspoken people, to your point, in civil rights. And there was some, and they were a little bit, I think a little bit older than OJ maybe, but
and they were a little scary to white America. America because of being outspoken on That's those right. issues. I That's mean, think right. about Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who changed his name from Lew Alcindor, and all those things were not O.J. O.J. was palatable to white America.
Well, O.J. made a very purposeful play to court white America, right, and to become famous and wealthy with that charm and charisma that appealed across racial boundaries.
And in some ways that alienated him from the black community That's early right. in his career, because he wasn't seen on the front lines about caring about the issues of the day that really mattered to the black community. And, you know, it's interesting you talked about his roles, because, yes, Nordberg is his most famous cinema role, but he was also sort of the Hertz rent-a-car guy. He was smiling. Yes. He was affable. He was friendly, just dripping with
also,
charisma.
Also, exceptionally good-looking as well, which yes. helped. He was sort of
he was charming.
The man that every man wanted to be and the man that every woman wanted to be with.
And it reminds me of the story that James Cameron wanted to cast him as the Terminator.
Right.
But O.J. wouldn't take a role like that. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger could pull that off. He's machine-like, but O.J. Simpson was also very muscular. Could have pulled it off, but he tended towards roles that would make him likable.
Right.
And that was what O.J. Simpson was very focused on.
And did very effectively.
And did extremely effectively. That's why what happened in 1994 was so shocking. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember this, really. You're about 10 years older than me, so you were really an adult.
Nine, but yeah.
just nine. Yeah. But it was so momentous because of the shock that people felt. I mean, this was a guy who seemed to have everything. He had a beautiful wife. She was his ex at the time, Nicole Brown Simpson, but he was just glittering. There were some stories that there was domestic abuse.
Well, those stories started to come out, and yes. it was not, these are not just rumors. He had brutally beaten his first wife. And then the stories came out that he had beaten Nicole as well. And so, you know, obviously.
It was a different time in news, right? Where those things were not
canceled. Those things were not covered. I was in my 20s by the time that Nicole died. I was stunned in the immediate aftermath of her death when the stories of who O.J. Simpson really was in his private life started to come out.
Such a contrast with who he was publicly.
He was the kind of guy that if you went to restaurants and grew up in L.A. and went to restaurants, he was there. He was just always a man of the people, talking, smiling, charismatic. Everybody loved him. He had this dark side that nobody knew about, this horrible brutality that he had done to his first wife, especially, and Nicole to maybe a lesser extent, but still brutalized her as well. Everybody sort of rethought their relationship, sort of the people that had known him and that he had curried favor with. But the black community in Los Angeles also recalibrated its relationship with O.J. Simpson.
And there have been Hollywood murders before O.J. Simpson that were very big. Obviously, we've covered John Lennon's murder, Sam Cooke's murder. It's not as if this were the first murder, but it was so blood-soaked, so yeah. Hollywood. It touched upon everything that mattered to people in the mid-90s. Race relations right. were huge at the forefront. This was in the days of the Rodney King trial. So that was yes. casting a shadow over what happened in this case where a black man was accused of murdering his ex-wife and her white maybe boyfriend or at least male companion.
And then you have the overlay, of course, of the LAPD and somebody like Mark Furman, who was the lead detective overseeing the case. And it came out during the trial. He had this horrible history of racism, of framing black defendants, of brutalizing black suspects. And he's in charge of the case. And so it colored the entire trial. It obviously colored the outcome and dictated the outcome. And so it's impossible to sort of really give full account for how it changed, I think, Americans' relationship with this criminal justice system,
sure.
Americans' relationship with the idea of white cops and sometimes the awful things that they were doing. It changed everything.
We were talking about this. O.J. Simpson, because of who he was prior to the murders, was maybe the unlikeliest of black folk heroes to be embraced by the black community. But he really was, because Johnny Cochran became
yes.
very famous in leading the defense team in this case and immediately positioned the case in, you hear the term, race card. This is where it really hit.
Yeah.
He played the race card. That was how he defended himself defended O.J. in this trial.
And by the way, as lawyers, and I firmly believe this, you do whatever you can to zealously defend your client and you get them off. And this was the best hand that he had. And there were a lot of people at the time and in the aftermath who blamed Johnny Cochran for, you know, creating a false story in order to get his client off. That's what lawyers do. That's the effective lawyering.
That's absolutely
what it is.
Right. And he positioned Mark and Furman
Johnny
as
Cochran
a racist.
Was brilliant. And he, you know, initially O.J. had hired Howard Weitzman, famed defense lawyer Howard Weitzman, had defended John DeLorean and others. And Howard Weitzman could never, and that's who O.J. knew him and thought this was the best lawyer.
He's a prominent white lawyer. Yes.
Prominent white lawyer. And his idea of defending was challenge the evidence. And Johnny Cochran said, well, that's not enough. That's not going to win this. Here's how we're going to win this. And it offended Howard Weitzman. He stepped off of the case. And Johnny Cochran became the most famous, prominent defense lawyer in the country for a time after he successfully defended O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson, in a knit cap from two blocks away, is still O.J. Simpson. It's no disguise. It's no disguise. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, and you really know how big a case is by the collateral players becoming extremely famous. Think about the biggest show around that time, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Seinfeld had a whole character that was based on Johnny Cochran.
That's right.
I mean, this was the most popular show on television, yeah. And they're lampooning a figure from the O.J. Simpson trial.
This was the biggest, obviously.
It's like Monica Lewinsky and the Clinton scandal.
This is the biggest legal case of certainly the last half of the 20th century. It's also perhaps the biggest pop culture moment of the last half of the 20th century. Your points about Cato Kaelin, Paula Barbieri, there are so many. Even Kris Jenner was, you know, friends with Nicole Brown Simpson.
The dawn of the Kardashians is the O.J. Simpson trial,
right?
Because Robert Kardashian was his personal attorney and on the defense team, although not that kind of lawyer. But
right.
It really is the genesis of so much of modern culture is the O.J. Simpson murder trial.
Yeah.
And there's no two ways about it. And on a personal note, you know our whole institution, Harvey Levin, much of his career was built around covering
the O.J. Simpson
trial.
We would not be here but for the O.J. Simpson trial. And you know, I obviously didn't know him at the time, but when I grew up, he was a local L.A. investigative reporter. Those people he used to have on local news would be down at the meatpacking plant or uncovering the Medicare fraud of the local doctors.
He put on the mustache.
Yeah, this sort of annoying little man who would sort of, you know,
investigative journalism.
But O.J. comes along, and it wasn't just Harvey. He may have been the most prominent, but there were these people who became celebrities in their own right by covering day in and day out with very opinionated journalism of the trial, not just the criminal trial, but the civil trial that came afterwards. Should we talk a little bit about the civil trial?
Yeah, it really was a divide. So when the not guilty verdict came in, there was truly line divided in this country. A lot of people felt that a black man had finally been exonerated,
yes,
for a crime, and were celebrating this. And many others, including most prominently Ronald Goldman's father, was absolutely appalled by this outcome because the evidence, the forensics, were just overwhelming in
right.
this case. There was a lot of blood, the gloves, and so forth. There was a lot of evidence to convict O.J. So what they did was they filed a civil case. And in that civil case, the burden of proof is much lower.
Right.
You only have to win by a preponderance of the evidence rather than beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a higher standard. So O.J. lost.
And not only that, there's some other differences. You know, Marsha Clark and Chris Darden were two good prosecutors. When they failed to convict O.J., the family went and hired Dan Petruccelli, who is maybe the greatest
civil lawyer
in the country. And you know, O.J. hired his very good lawyers as well. But it was just a different tenor. Also, the jury was very different. It was just a very different, the entire feel around it, the whole thing. There was really a fait accompli as soon as the suit was filed that it was going to be found liable.
Yes.
Because of this burden of proof.
But regardless, he remained a free man. There was this huge judgment that chased him around.
$33 million judgment. O.J. said afterwards he was going to spend the rest of his life trying to find the people who really murdered him. And there were all these then images coming out of him on the golf course and him entertaining other women and all kinds of
He writes a book called If I Did It, right, where it is basically describing the murders in a hypothetical sense, but sort of right. admitting them. He would do interviews where he would describe in gory detail exactly what happened on the night, but say, that's what I believe happened.
As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember. Except I'm standing there and there's all kind of stuff around and
what kind of stuff?
Butt and stuff around. You know, I hate to say this, but this is hypothetical. I'm sorry.
Right.
I know we got to back up again.
Right. It's okay. I want to back
this
up.
This is hard. This is hard.
Yeah. I know. I want to back
it's
up
hard
to
try to make people think that I'm.
Hypothetically, if I had done it, this is what I did. And he did it as a money play. Turns out that as part of the judgment, the Goldman family Fred Goldman seized all of the assets that OJ had, including that was any royalties from the book. Nobody actually bought the book, so I don't think he got much, but right. That is now owned by the Goldman family.
And then the real final episode, I guess it's sort of the prelude to the final episode of him just living in Vegas and being a social media star, was this case over his memorabilia, yep. where he alleged that some people had stolen his sports memorabilia.
Yep.
And he got them into a Vegas hotel room in some way?
It happened in Las Vegas. It was a collector's convention of some kind. OJ, who needed money, was attempting to sell his memorabilia. He alleged that some people had stolen a few $100,000 worth of memorabilia. So he, with a couple of henchmen, armed henchmen, went down to the hotel room of the person who they believe had stolen his assets and held them at gunpoint until they returned what he said was his. I don't know if anything was ever returned. But he was tried and convicted for the main charge would be kidnapping because right. he held them against their will at gunpoint.
And I don't want to minimize that it was an armed robbery. It was an armed robbery. It was a very serious, but the sentence he got was perceived by the public to be a sort of catch up or a sort of make good for the fact that he was found not guilty of the murder trial.
The judge was a hack. I'm going to come right and say, we watched this and she used it. She invited all the cameras into her courtroom as she gave a 45-minute sentencing oration. Where she laid out in very broad terms all the things that he'd done, totally unnecessary for the case.
To paint him as a danger to society.
To paint him as a danger to society, but unnecessary for anybody except the media in attendance. And then purposely said, I know there's a lot of allegations. I'm not going to let them affect the length of the sentence that I'm going to give. But given all this, I'm going to give you the maximum possible sentence that I can give.
He ended up serving 9 years. So he emerges from this sentence. He's an old man, although still very good looking and somewhat hale. You know, looked like a man who was going to live for a number of years.
He was in his mid-60s when he was paroled.
And he assumes this life in Las Vegas where he could have, ridden off quietly into the sunset, collected his NFL pension, and retreated from public life. He did not do that at all. What he would do on social media is pick news stories that sort of had an ancillary relationship to murder or things that were controversial, and he would post these comments on them with these little videos where, I don't know how to describe it, sort of breaking
trolling.
The fourth wall, trolling.
He was trolling.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he was trolling.
He was trolling all the people that were angry that he wasn't in prison for the rest of his life.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Well, a whole lot of people are asking me what I think about this Alex Murdaugh trial. I don't know why they think I'm an expert on it, but I did watch. I am not qualified to really say if the guy did it or he didn't do it. Do I think it's more likely that he did it? Yes. But more likely equals reasonable doubt.
He would also go out and party with women. Mainly, we would get videos of him with many blonde women on the dance floor. And so
Nicole was blonde.
Yeah, Nicole was blonde. There would jokes be made about whether they survived the night and so forth. Yeah. He was that figure, sort of disgraced, absolutely disgraced, and never really entered the mainstream again. But O.J. Simpson never became irrelevant, ever.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, O.J. Simpson stands as one of the most complicated, polarizing figures in modern American history. And even though we're not going to end on a sort of somber note, his death does need to be marked as the closing of a very significant chapter in our culture.